ride. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Today is October 28th, 2025. And our top story this morning is mass layoffs. They are here. We have got two, count them, two stories this morning involving tens of thousands of layoffs. The first one we got is at UPS. Now, the initial reports going around this morning said that there were 34,000 layoffs at UPS, that these were operational jobs. And when I hear operational, I think the guys in the brown uniforms driving the brown trucks, maybe the guys at the sorting centers. So that 34,000 number was going around. And then just a few minutes ago, the Wall Street Journal reported, good catch, Mish, by the way, that there is an additional 14,000 management jobs have also been cut over at UPS. That is 48,000 layoffs in one shot. Now, some of those had been previously announced. We had earlier this year, UPS had announced they were going to do something like 20,000 layoffs over the next few months. And I guess they got to 20,000 and they're like, you know what? These firings are going so well. We're just going to go ahead and lay off another 24,000. So 48,000 people gone in one fell swoop there. Now, look, UPS stock is ripping this morning because layoffs, they're cutting cash, burning money, losing operations. And so these layoffs are very good news for UPS shareholders. They're bad news for everybody else. UPS revenues were down year over year. And you know, I read a couple of different articles about UPS earnings this morning. I did not see one mention anywhere in any of these articles about package volumes. And that's one of the most important statistics in UPS earnings is package volumes. That's like almost as important as net interest margin is to the banks when they report. Nobody's talking about it, which that must mean it's because it's really good, right? That the financial press didn't bother to mention, oh, by the way, nobody's shipping anything. Recession, baby. It's here. I mean, the stuff is not moving. These are the people who move the stuff around, and they're cutting tens of thousands of jobs. That means there's less stuff to move. See how that works? And if you think I'm kidding, check out this tweet I got. I'll put it up. And there's a chart. Craig Fuller, the CEO and founder of FreightWaves, was out yesterday with a tweet showing outbound trucking freight volumes down 17% year over year. So, you know, it's great. You know, all this BS about chatbots and AI and the socialist chatbot minister in Albania is pregnant. True story. I kid you not. Yeah, all that crap. But nothing is moving. Trucks aren't carrying stuff. You don't have an economy if the trucks aren't moving, guys. I don't care what the chatbot tells you. I don't care what Kathy Wood says. Without trucks on the road, we don't have an economy. Oh, and speaking of people who move things in trucks, Amazon also getting in on the mass layoff action this morning. Now, initially yesterday, the story was going around that, according to people familiar with the matter, Amazon was going to announce 30,000 layoffs. We didn't get 30,000 layoffs from Amazon this morning. They announced 14,000 layoffs. So that's the number we're going to go with. But, you know, the 14,000 number could be like the UPS story. That's just the initial estimate. So maybe there was some truth to those unconfirmed 30,000 rumors yesterday. But either way, that's more than 10,000 more people being laid off in the corporate workforce again. A lot of white collar jobs are going away here. Now, there's all kinds of claims being made. Oh, it's about AI and it's about efficiencies with AI. Or maybe it's the fact that Amazon has exhausted their free cash flow and they want to keep burning money on AI. So they're just going to have to cut the people that make the company work in order to free up the salary to be able to go and feed that money into the cash furnace that is data centers. Either way, AI, 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 never mind the fact that we're laying people off by the tens of thousands. By the way, 95% of AI pilots in the United States have failed to generate a return on investment. But you know, go ahead and light another $10 billion a day on fire. I'm sure that's going to go really well. Now, that's the layoff stories and the economic stories. And look, guys, you got package volume slowing. You got people getting laid off. But we have inflation still way above the Fed's 2% target. There's your stag and your inflation, guys. It's the economy of the 1970s. It is back. Now, we did get some good news this morning. We finally have some details of the trade deal with the Japanese, in particular, that $550 billion investment pledge that was announced several months ago. There were scant details available about that investment pledge, but we got some of that today. And there's actually some specifics and some numbers attached to it. We got a lot of nuclear and a lot of power infrastructure involved in this deal. We got some rare earths involved in this deal. Of course, F-35s and Tomahawks. You just knew there was going to be some stuff that goes boom in there. Some mention of shipbuilding, but no details about shipbuilding. I suspect the shipbuilding is going to be announced later on this week because we're also meeting with the South Korean minister to iron out the details of their $350 billion investments in the U.S., and shipbuilding is expected to be the lion's share of that money. South Korea is the world's second biggest shipbuilder behind China, and I believe Japan is number three behind South Korea. So I think what we're going to end up seeing later this week is some kind of a three-way shipbuilding arrangement between the U.S., South Korea, and Japan involving building ships, probably in modularity. The defense industry loves the term modularity. Build pieces of ships in different countries and then assemble them somewhere for all three navies, obviously with an eye towards China in that whole thing. So we got some details about that this morning. We've got Google has cut a deal with NextEra Energy. They are going to revive the decommissioned Duane Arnold nuclear plant. That's a smaller, older reactor in Iowa that was shut down. I believe in 2020, they shut down Duane Arnold. They're going to restart it to power data centers, just like they're doing with Three Mile Island. So that one was just announced. We got United Health earnings beat expectations, and they raised their outlook. The stock is up this morning. This is the first good news United Health has had in a long time. That stock has been absolutely bludgeoned this year after criminal probes were announced, the whole CEO execution thing in the street, all kinds of bad news at United Health. But we got a silver lining this morning. We got PayPal stock is ripping on a deal with OpenAI that was just announced. They're going to put a digital wallet in ChatGPT. So ChatGPT can tell you what to buy and you can pay with PayPal. And that's fun. Well, Qualcomm is going after NVIDIA's market share with their own custom AI chip. That deal was announced late yesterday morning. That stock was up 11% yesterday on that story. Kathy Wood says AI is not in a bubble. Okay, Kathy Wood of ARK Invest. Hey, everybody, you can stop looking. We found the greater fool. And who'd have thought it'd be Kathy Wood? Besides freaking everybody thought it would be Kathy Wood. We knew it would be Kathy Wood. That's what she does. She buys bubbles. But she says it's not a bubble. So take that and go to the bank with it. And also Blackstone and Apollo. Wait till you see this story at the end of the show. The lengths that they are going to convince your financial advisor to buy their private equity bags. This story is freaking hilarious. I just love this one. Guys, we've got a lot to talk about. We got a lot of stories this morning. How about we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance. And as always, don't forget that like button and that subscribe button for the YouTube algorithm. You new guys, come on back tomorrow and have your coffee with the melon heads because we do this one every day. Red today. Look at the S&P 500. We're up this morning. How about that? 17 points, 0.26% higher. Seems like we just go up relentlessly, right? Stocks only ever seem to go up. Dow is also up 314 points or about 2/3 of 1%. We had quite a big bump here earlier this morning. That was the United Health earnings. UNH is the biggest component of the Dow. And about 10 minutes ago, we had a big leg up here. I saw that in the S&P too. Not sure what story that was. And we have got the NASDAQ. Look at markets are just going straight up right now. NASDAQ up 95 points, 0.37% higher. In lieu of absolute catastrophe, number go up. The dollar is even a little bit stronger here, 98.93, higher by 11 basis points this morning. Now, a stronger dollar should be putting some downward pressure on asset prices. It ain't working with stocks, though. And we got a mixed bag in the bond market this morning. The 30-year yield is down by a half a point, 4.564. The 10-year yield at 4.004, that's actually up almost one basis point. The 2 years up almost 2 points at 3.514, and the 1 month at 3.989. That's down by 2 points and change, anticipating the almost certain Fed rate cut coming tomorrow, actually. Tomorrow is Fed rate cut. Looking at the commodities board, another red day for metals here. Gold is taking it on the chin once again. Spot gold, 39.24. We are under 4,000 for gold. Down another $57.60 or 1.45% lower. The December front month gold futures at 39.38. That's off by 81 points or 2% lower. Silver is down, not quite as much as gold, though. We've got spot silver at 46.68. That's down 22 cents or 0.49% lower. And the December front month silver contract at 46.70 is off by almost 7 cents or 0.14% lower. Taking a look at that arbitrage opportunity now between London, the spot market, and the New York price in December, we've got the New York price is now actually higher. How about that? So the backwardation is behind us. Backwardation behind. Sure, why not? The markets are back to normal when it comes to silver here. We have got the spot price just a little bit lower than that front month futures contract, as it should be. That was flipped for several weeks. Remember, the London spot price had gone as high as $3 higher than the New York front month futures contract as London was running out of metal. So we're back to normal here, guys. We got the front month is up by about 6 cents of contango here. That's interesting. The metals market is back to normal here, guys. I know we're seeing this red and this is discouraging, but to be honest with you, I view this as a spring being recoiled. And, you know, all of the things that took gold so much higher so quickly this year, all of the macro factors that were at play, they are all even worse than they were when this whole situation started. I don't care if we played nice in the sandbox with the Chinese for about 5 minutes. World War III is still going to happen. All these reasons, guys, there's just not enough gold and silver in the world for what's coming. Copper, meanwhile, down about 0.75%. Platinum is down by about 1.9%. Palladium getting clobbered, down 3.3%. And even crude oil is down this morning, off by 71 cents, $60.60 for December WTI futures. We have got Bitcoin is continuing to do well here. Again, let's set this to daily candles. I don't know why I'm set to minute candles here. Bitcoin, $114,872. That's up another almost $800 this morning. The market has gone risk on, and Bitcoin likes risk on. But as always, guys, I got to warn you, Bitcoin winter is here. We are due for a massive sell-off in Bitcoin. So just be careful on leverage, as always. All right, now let's talk Turkey. Let's talk about the big one here. 48,000 jobs cut at UPS. In both management and operations. This one in the Wall Street Journal released about a half hour ago here. United Parcel Service said it has reduced its management workforce by about 14,000 positions so far this year, and its operational workforce by another 34,000 positions. The company disclosed the workforce reductions for 2025 in an earnings statement to investors and analysts. UPS said it's well positioned to navigate the coming holiday shipping season. I guess it's going to be a really great Christmas if they cut almost 50,000 people and now they're well positioned for Christmas. And restructuring efforts have resulted in cost savings of about $2.2 billion so far this year. Though third quarter profit and revenue fell, results were better than expected. Shares rallied more than 12%. And I couldn't help but notice here, guys, they saved $2.2 billion by cutting 48,000 positions. And yet third quarter profit and revenue fell. And again, no mention of package volume. And look, if revenue fell, package volume fell, right? I mean, even if package volume was just flat, revenue should be higher because of inflation and higher, you know, adjusted costs. But revenue fell. So that means package volume is way down, even though nobody's talking about it. This dreadful result for UPS, even though they're better than people had feared, but the cost savings and layoffs, man, this market just loves layoffs. And so look at UPS stock up 11.5% ahead of the opening bell, trading at $99.45, higher by 10 bucks and a quarter this morning. And let's see, what does UPS look like year to date? All right, so, you know, let's put that 11.5% pre-market move in context here. The stock is down almost 30% year to date. So you can see here, things not so good in the freight economy. And you don't have to take my word for it. Check out Craig Fuller, who, when it comes to freight and logistics and content creation online, FreightWaves is arguably the best website in the logistics logistics space by far. Craig has been a guest on this channel before, and he posted this one yesterday. Trucking freight volumes, a signal for the goods economy, are a dumpster fire right now. Minus 17% year over year. Now, take a look at this chart. The blue line on this chart is 2025 package volumes. And then the red line, that's your 2023 volume. And the green line is your 2024 volume. And you can see that the green and the red, you know, they followed pretty close to each other. 23 and 24 were pretty similar. Seems like 24 was a little higher. And then look, all of a sudden this summer, the 2025 line just started to dive and we're still heading lower. Guys, this is heading into Christmas season. That's the big thing here. This is when trucks should be going bonkers right now, moving all that Christmas inventory around, and they're not doing it. Freight volume down 17% year over year as UPS is laying people off. These are not isolated events. This is the same thing happening in two different parts in the logistics supply chain. Meanwhile, we have got Amazon is also cutting people this morning. Amazon laying off about 14,000 corporate workers as it invests more in AI. Oh, quick, somebody say a thing about AI so people stop paying attention to the fact that we're laying everybody off. Amazon said Tuesday that it will lay off about 14,000 corporate employees, marking the latest cuts in the company's multi-year effort to rein in costs. In a blog post, the company wrote that the layoffs are being carried out to help make the company leaner and less bureaucratic, while it looks to invest in our biggest bets, including generative AI intelligence. This generation of AI is the most transformative technology, talking point, talking point, talking point, blah, blah, blah. We're convinced that we need to be organized with leanly, more leanly, with fewer layers and more ownership to move as quickly as possible for our customers and businesses, said the buzzword-prone spokesperson for the company. The layoffs are expected to ultimately be the largest corporate job cuts in Amazon's history, CNBC previously reported, and Reuters reported the cuts could affect as many as 30,000 employees, citing sources familiar with the matter. So I think we're probably going to hear about more layoffs from Amazon. So you can add that to the UPS layoffs here, guys. That stock, Amazon's up about 0.25% this morning, $227.63. Just a reminder, guys, we get five of the Mag 7 earnings this week. So big tech is going to be noisy over the next couple of days. It's going to be a busy stream probably Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. All right, now we've got some details of the Japan trade deal. Finally, some details, right? We've got all these memorandums of understandings and cautiously optimistic frameworks and mutual agreements that have always been scant on details. We're finally getting some of that this morning. Japan and U.S. named first projects in the flagship $550 billion fund. These are investments that Japanese companies are going to make in the United States in exchange for lowering the tariffs. And here's some of the projects that are listed. Let's make this text a little bigger so you guys can follow along. Westinghouse will spend up to $100 billion on construction of AP1000 nuclear reactors and small modular reactors. Mitsubishi Heavy Industries, Toshiba Group, and IHI may be involved. Now, that is interesting because the AP1000 nuclear reactors, that is the same model of nuclear reactor that bankrupted. Was it Toshiba? Who went bankrupt? What? Westinghouse, I think. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those are the reactors that bankrupted Westinghouse. It was one of the biggest corporate bankruptcies in history. The two reactors that they built at the Vogtle plant down in Georgia and the two reactors at the VC Summer plant that were never finished. They're only about 40% complete in South Carolina. So Westinghouse wants to build more of those. I hope they learned their lesson in the last ones and they get more efficient now. But nuclear is a big part of this deal with the Japanese. And you can also see it with GE Vernova and Hitachi. They are doing construction of SMRs, that's small modular reactors, also nukes, up to $100 billion. So there's $200 billion going into nuclear so far. We've got Bechtel, that's a big energy contractor. They're going to spend up to $25 billion on large-scale power and industrial infrastructure, including power plants, substations, and transmissions. SoftBank is going to spend up to $25 billion to build large-scale power infrastructure. Not many details there. And also SoftBank, again, where does SoftBank get this money from? They don't have it, but I digress, unless they're going to sell their ARM holdings. We've got NuScale and Entra Energy, an undisclosed amount, but they're considering power generation, both gas, thermal, and nuclear for AI. Toshiba is going to supply electrical power modules, data center transformers, and other power generation substations, such as transformers. No numbers attached to that one. And we've even got some critical minerals here, up to $3 billion from Carbon Holdings for construction of a greenfield ammonia and urea fertilizer facility. That's pretty interesting. So we got some details here You'll notice shipbuilding was noticeably absent from this one, but we did get some mention of shipbuilding here. Trump and Takaichi vowed to deepen security ties on U.S. carrier. There's the new Japanese first female ever prime minister, Sanae Takaichi, or Takaichi Sanae, depending on if you want to put the family name first or second. Let's see. President Trump and Japanese Prime Minister Sanae Takaichi pledged to tighten security cooperation and increase defense funding as they visited the aircraft carrier USS George Washington at a U.S. naval base south of Tokyo, an event designed to underscore ties between the countries. On Tuesday, Trump said the U.S. and Japan were looking to boost their joint shipbuilding capacity as his Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick signed a memorandum of understanding with Japanese officials. Part of our deal with the trade is we're going to start to make ships, Trump said. We used to be number one at making ships, and then we lost our way, but now we're starting to make ships again. And once again, guys, I think you can expect the South Koreans to be included in this. The South Koreans, Hyundai Shipbuilders, Hyundai Heavy Industries just signed a memorandum of understanding with Huntington Ingalls. That's a company I own, by the way, yesterday, all about increasing their cooperation on shipbuilding. So I think we're probably going to see a lot of investment in shipbuilding in the coming months here. And of course, they're also spending money on things that make you go boom. Let's see. Japan is also a high spending buyer of F-30 of U.S. military equipment, including deals for more than 100 F-35 fighters costing around $10 billion and about 400 Tomahawk cruise missiles valued at roughly $1.6 billion. But aboard the U.S. George Washington, the lone American aircraft carrier with a home port outside the U.S., the president struck a friendly tone. So a lot of weapons, a lot of nukes, maybe some ships, some rare earths sprinkled in there. We finally have some details on a trade deal. And we got more nuke news this morning. Google to buy power from NextEra nuclear plant being revived. Shout out to my old friends at the Duane Arnold plant. I remember my control rod drive system engineer counterpart very well from back in my nuclear days. Hey, maybe she'll get her job back. NextEra Energy plans to restart a nuclear power plant in Iowa primarily to support Google data centers. The Duane Arnold Energy Center is expected to start delivering power by 2029 following agreement with Google, according to a statement on Monday. The 615-megawatt plant shut down in 2020, well before the AI boom that stoked demand for new power sources. Constellation Energy is working to bring one of the reactors at Three Mile Island in Pennsylvania back into service by 2027. Holtec International plans to restart the Palisades plant in Michigan by early next year. Meanwhile, South Carolina utility Santee Cooper said last week that it's talking to Brookfield Asset Management about finishing the partially built VC Summer project that was abandoned in 2017 as costs spiraled. Now, that's interesting there, that part about Brookfield and Santee Cooper talking about finishing the VC Summer plant. Maybe there's some overlap there with the $100 billion that Westinghouse said they're going to spend in the United States on AP1000 reactors. Maybe that's the same story there. They're going to finish the ones that they failed to complete the first time around. Entirely plausible scenario there. That plant was about 40% complete when they abandoned the project. NextEra agreed to sell Google electricity from Duane Arnold for 25 years. NextEra is also buying out the plant's minority owners, Central Iowa Power Cooperative and Corn Belt Power Cooperative, and will sell the remaining electricity from the plant to SIPCO on the same terms that Google receives. So this is now the third decommissioned nuclear plant that is attempting to restart, possibly an abandoned construction project that they're going to attempt to complete now. Nuclear is seeing some movement here. We'll see. We'll see if these stories, I hope these get done. I'm a big proponent of nuclear energy. I believe nuclear energy makes a lot of sense, both economically and environmentally and for every other reason under the sun. That being said, when this data center bubble goes burst, we'll see if these nuclear projects survive that. Meanwhile, United Health sees growth in 2026 and tops earnings expectations. Look, let's not spend too much time on this because I just hate this company. But United Health raised their outlook. They beat expectations. It was a good quarter. It's the first good quarter in a while for United Health. We don't need to go into the numbers. The stock is up 3.75% ahead of the opening bell on this news. But let's also keep in mind that this stock is down 27.5% year to date because of all the criminal probes and problems that they've been having. So, you know, a little bit of a silver lining for the UNH shareholders. United Health is also the biggest Dow component, and so that is driving the Dow higher this morning as well. Meanwhile, we got this one from PayPal. PayPal reaches a deal to put digital wallet into OpenAI's ChatGPT. This stock is ripping on this news. PayPal holding share soared after it reached a deal with OpenAI to embed its digital wallet inside the firm's ChatGPT product. Hundreds of millions of OpenAI users already use the startup's generative artificial intelligence to find products, according to a statement. The new tie-up will mean PayPal provides the payment technology to turn those searches into actual purchases. Sam Altman needs to figure out a way to make money with OpenAI. It's a cash-burning dumpster fire right now. So maybe this deal with PayPal and getting people to spend money within ChatGPT, maybe that's a way they could get some money flowing at OpenAI, other than just spinning stupid hype stories and hoping to get private equity and private credit to loan you more money. PayPal doing pretty good on this news. Stock is up 8.5% ahead. The opening bell has now rung. The stock is up 8.5%, $76.26 for PayPal Holdings. And another AI story, this one yesterday, Qualcomm soars after taking aim at NVIDIA with new AI chips. This story broke shortly after the stream wrapped up yesterday. Qualcomm shares rose to the highest price in 15 months after the company unveiled chips and computers for the lucrative AI data center market, aiming to challenge NVIDIA Corp and the fastest growing part of the industry. The company's new AI 200 lineup will start shipping next year, Qualcomm said on Monday. The first customer will be Saudi Arabia's AI startup Humane, which plans to deploy 200 megawatts worth of computing systems based on the chips starting in 2026. Qualcomm is trying to break into the market for AI accelerators, which are used to create and run AI models. It's an area that's already transformed the semiconductor industry, with hundreds of billions of dollars being spent on data centers to power AI software and services. The torrid growth has turned market leader NVIDIA into the world's most valuable company. Yep, AI bubble continues. Now, Qualcomm stock ripped yesterday. It's down a little bit, about 1.8% here this morning. This stock was up over 11% yesterday on this news. Interesting, Qualcomm surges on this announcement because it's expected to take market share away from NVIDIA, but NVIDIA also went up yesterday. Somebody want to explain that to me? Oh, that's right. Nobody actually cares about math or percentages or market share. It's just all about the endless hype cycle and number go up. Oh, you think I'm kidding? Check out this one. Kathy Wood. She's back in the news. Why does anybody care what Kathy Wood says? This woman has burned more money than the freaking Joker in that Batman movie when he set the gasoline and dynamite. Yeah, they're cheap. All that stuff. ARK Invest CEO Kathy Wood flags AI market correction risk. We think there will be a reality check before going on to say that AI is not in a bubble. There she is. There's the carefully crafted persona with the pretentious glasses and everything. ARK Invest CEO Kathy Wood on Tuesday pushed back on fears of an artificial intelligence bubble while flagging the possibility of a reality check in AI valuations. Speaking to CNBC's Dan Murphy on the sidelines of Saudi Arabia's future investment initiative in Riyadh, Wood said that interest rates begin to rise, there will be a shudder in markets. Wood is one of many business leaders to have waded into the AI bubble debate, particularly as AI-driven spending has led to record deals and valuations. Earlier this month, the International Monetary Fund and Bank of England became the latest financial institutions to warn that global stock markets could be in trouble if investor appetite for artificial intelligence turns sour. IMF Chief Kristalina Georgieva offered some blunt advice to investors at the time. Buckle up, uncertainty is the new normal and it's here to stay. She joined the likes of OpenAI's Sam Altman, JP Morgan boss Jamie Dimon, and even Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell in warning about the risk of stock market corrections as AI spending surges. But ARK Invest Wood said big tech valuations will make sense in the longer term, however. I'm not saying there will never be any corrections. Of course there will, as many people worry. Okay, is this too much, too soon? But if our expectations for AI, especially embodied AI, in the way that I just described are correct, we are at the very beginning of a technology revolution, said Kathy Wood, recycling the same buzzword she used to describe electric vehicles and freaking Peloton back in 2021. How's that going? Asked whether AI was in a bubble right now, Wood replied, I do not believe AI is in a bubble. What I do think is, on the enterprise side, it's going to take a while for large corporations to prepare themselves to transform. Oh, that's the problem. These big corporations, they're so stuck in their ancient, chaotic, archaic ways that they're just not ready to transform. Maybe they're not ready to transform because 95% of AI pilots have generated no return on investment for the companies that tried them. And actually, AI works a lot, according to a study by, who is it, Upstart? I can't remember who did the study. It was Brené Brown's people. But according to them, AI work slop is costing a company with an average of 10,000 employees about $9 million a year in lost productivity, even though the Kathy Woods of the world have promised us a new revolution in human productivity, and it's going to discover new physics and cure cancer and all the children of the world, but first porn somehow. Yeah. All right. Kathy Woods says it's not a bubble. Stop looking, everybody. We found the greater fool. Good luck with that one. Check out this one. This is just, I just love this. All right. Somebody tell me what stage this is. The Albanian Prime Minister, Edi Rama, has announced that the country's artificial intelligence minister, Diela, is pregnant and will give birth to 83 AI children. All right, Diela is a chatbot that is their AI minister, all right? And she's pregnant, all right? Are we going to do a gender reveal for the software? And she's going to have 83 AI children. The kids will serve as assistants to Albania's Socialist Party, helping with policy administrative tasks. All right. Who had a pregnant socialist AI chatbot intelligence minister having 83 AI children in Albania on their 2020s bingo card? Oh, yeah. Oh, no. It's definitely not a bubble. Read this shit 10 times and tell me it's not a bubble. Oh, my God. Albanian socialists all in on the AI mania. All right. Last one of the day. Sorry, guys. I get a kick out of this stuff. But look at this one. This is even funnier. Look at what Blackstone and Apollo are doing to convince your financial advisor to put your money into the bags that they're selling. Blackstone and Apollo court small-time investors that they used to snub. And why are they courting the small-time investors that they used to snub? Because now they desperately need their money. They need a greater fool. And oh, beware the picks and shovels. Oh my God, is that talking point played out now? I've heard the CoreWeave guys say that so many times. We're going to scroll through a whole bunch of this stuff here, but we got to get to the really good part of this article. Where is it? Oh, come on. There we go. One wealth advisor in Los Angeles said they received more than 100 emails so far this year from Apollo, Blackstone, and KKR, according to messages seen by Bloomberg News. The messages include market updates and invitations to webinars promising to educate advisors about non-traditional investments. A recent email from Carlyle introduced the sender, a relatively new hire from a mutual fund company, as your internal point of contact. It urged advisors to sign up for one of seven spots to discuss investment opportunities. Old school at wining and dining are on the program too, but it's not all filet mignon and Cabernet. A New York-based Voya Financial, a retirement employee benefits and investment management firm, recently offered advisors who attended a webinar on alternative assets an Uber Eats voucher. Yep. They're bribing your financial advisor with coupons for Uber Eats in order to convince them to attend webinars where they explain to them how great it's going to be to put your money in the crap they're selling because they can't sell it to anybody else without finding out that it's not really worth anything near what they're claiming it's worth. Uber Eats vouchers. Apparently, that is the going rate for selling out your clients. Back in Blackstone Town, formerly the Canadian set of the 1989 to 1990 series Border Town, the vibe has been decidedly un-Wall Street, at least judging by videos posted on YouTube. The Eureka campaign was created by Goodby Silverstein and Partners, a production company from where the buffalo roam. The picks and shovels tag is designed to showcase Blackstone's big investment in data centers and utilities to power artificial intelligence. This is freaking unbelievable what Blackstone has done. They rented out the set of a failed 1980s Gold Rush TV show. They hired a Hollywood production company to come in and run this stupid seminar all around the Gold Rush picks and shovels motif, theme, whatever. And they're bringing your investment advisor there in this stupid Hollywood-esque production to convince them to put your money into the debt that's currently going up in smoke to build data centers for their stupid AI bubble. Oh, my God. And again, if you're not crazy about going to this, we'll throw in some Uber Eats vouchers. Why not? Gotta love it, guys. Be careful. I'm telling you, this is the bailout right now. The bailout is happening, and you are the bailout. You are bailing out Wall Street. And then, of course, when everything goes pop, the question is, will the government bail you out when your retirement disappears because Blackstone, Apollo, KKR, Carlyle, along with Jensen Huang and all those AI assholes stole all your money? Good luck. Man, I just love that story. Picks and shovels. Uber Eats. Socialist AI chatbot ministers are pregnant. It is a ridiculous day on the internet, folks. And let me just say thank you so much to the Dad Dan, the Double D. Thank you, Dad Dan, for gifting 10 Nobody Special Finance memberships. I appreciate that very much. Don't forget to say thank you to Dad Dan in the comments, everybody. That was very nice of you, Dad. Thank you for supporting the channel. Welcome to the Melon Patch, you baby melon heads, you. Steve Woitis, thank you very much, sir, for supporting the channel. He says, anyone else bargain shopping for precious metals and miners here or any calls for lower prices? Let me just tell you, Steve, there's not a lot of bargains in physical precious metals right now. The premiums are going up. A few weeks ago, premiums on American Silver Eagles were down as low as $2. I got some calls from viewers who said they found them at local coin shops for $2 over spot. I got some for $2.50, $3 over spot. We're now like $7 to $9 over spot. So as prices have come down, premiums have gone up as the retail enthusiasm for physical products have come back in. So physical silver hasn't actually gotten very much cheaper. One exception, though. Junk silver, the 90% U.S. constitutional silver, pre-64 quarters, dimes, and half dollars. Those have actually stayed cheaper. You can still get that metal for under spot, even below today's depressed spot prices, at least relative to where we were a week ago or 2 weeks ago. So if you are shopping for physical metal, guys, not a financial advisor, all that stuff, you know, CYMIA, junk silver is, in my opinion, the best deal to be had in physical precious metals right now. You can still get that at a discount because of this ruction in the market and the refiners are still overwhelmed with pure stuff. They're just turning down alloy silver. So that's my take on that one. Mining space is always hit or miss. Be careful with that one. But thank you very much, Steve Woitis, for supporting the channel. Nashville Pasta Man says UPS down 30% year to date, gold up 60% year to date. It's the best economy ever. Well, gosh, Pasta Man, when you put it that way, it almost sounds like it's not the best economy ever. That can't be right. I was told my problem was bad vibes. I was told that it was the best economy ever, but that you were the problem. Remember that one, Greg Ipp, that guy at the Wall Street Journal? Yeah. What's changed? I'll tell you what's changed. You got a different guy in charge in the White House, and now they're willing to tell the truth about the economy. That seems to be the only difference because it's the same economy we had 2 years ago. All right, the trade war, that's new. That's a whole new like monkey wrench has been thrown into this already gummed up works. So you could argue that made things worse in the short term. But guys, the economy's been it's been shit for a while. Going back to 2022, the economy's been like this. It's nothing new. Thank you, Pasta Man, for supporting the channel. Tom Dillon, thank you, sir, for the generosity. A pink one this morning. Thank you very much, sir. He says, thanks for all the work you put in to bring accurate, honest market info daily. These are American dollars, though. If you want to trade them from Jensen Bucks, you'll have to look up the exchange rate. Oh, yeah. You're trying to throw a little shout out to my video about data center credits, the funny money that's propping up the AI bubble. Yeah, you know, now that everybody's finally saying the same thing I've been saying for 2 years on my channel, everybody's forgetting to mention that it's not even real money going around in circles. In most cases, it's monopoly money, fake money, funny money, or Jensen Bucks, if you will. Thank you, Tom Dillon, for mentioning that. Data center credits, coupons for free GPU rental. That's what's going around in circles, more so than actual dollars. There's almost no real money changing hands. I did a whole video about this. It's at the top of my feed if you click on videos. Highly recommend you check that one out. Tom, thank you so much for the super chat and the generosity. I appreciate that. I'm glad you're enjoying the streams. KDM, what's going on? Thank you for supporting the channel. KDM says, those Albanians going for nepotism in AI. Ooh, socialist nepotism with an AI bubble sprinkled flavor on top. I love it. I just freaking love it. Oh my God. AI socialist chatbot ministers are pregnant, having 83 children. They must have taken some kind of, mRNA fertility drugs or something like that to have so many kids at once. But, you know, hey, congratulations. What was the name of that stupid chatbot? Oh, who cares? Socialist climbing on board the AI bubble, guys. What stage? Is that not just hey, big things are happening with AI and socialism in Albania. So there you go, guys. It's the big technological revolution. The socialists are on board with it. Kathy Wood. Thank you very much, KDM. Chris Bott says Albanian socialist chatbot was impregnated by libertarian Bitcoin goddess and Janet Yellen. Who are we talking about? Zhimin Jian? I think I can remember that name. That lady in the UK who was caught with, what was it, 61,000 Bitcoin, which at the time was like $7 billion worth of Bitcoin. And they found in her journal that she wanted the Dalai Lama to declare her a goddess and she wanted to rule as the queen over Liberland because every libertarian secretly yearns to be ruled by a morbidly obese Chinese god empress. Yep, that's a true story too. Maybe she's the one who got the chatbot pregnant. I like your thinking. Now we're thinking outside the box here, guys. Chris Pott, man. And of course, Janet. My Janet's getting in on that. So Janet and Zhimin Jimon in the chatbot. Well, all I can tell you, Jack, is that threesome was an evening of intense passion. And well, those Japanese mushrooms, man. I don't know what they put in those things, but the next thing I know, the chatbot's looking at me with a twinkle in its eye. Secretary Yellen, this is a family show. I'd ask you to please keep your language, you know, maybe take it down a peg or two. That escalated quickly. But thank you, Chris Bott, for supporting the channel, sir. Mr. BTB, who I don't know. Yeah, we're not going to say it, but Inc., I see you've LLC'd it. Thank you very much. He says, my Fidelity person is pitching alternative investments. Yeah, they're all pitching it because they all need bag holders, guys. I mean, everybody is doing this. Look, I spent a lot of time in this, guys. It's almost impossible to even know if the fund you're holding is in this stuff because the prospectus is only a snapshot of what's in the fund. They can change around the orientation of the fund, then issue the prospectus and then change it back. And I have no way of knowing what's actually in all of these target date funds and all of these holdings. They're putting it in everybody's stuff, guys. All I can tell you is, if you're really worried about this, or if you're as worried about this as I am, call your guy and tell him you want no part in it. Tell him I don't care if they offer you an Uber Eats voucher. I don't want this crap, if that's your opinion. Again, I don't have the piece of paper from the government that says I'm allowed to tell people what to do with their money. All I can tell you right now is the people that are trying to sell this dog shit to you are giving the people with that piece of paper an Uber Eats voucher in exchange to get them in the door to convince them to put your money in what they're selling. You need a government permit for that? Okay. Thank you very much, BTB. Not surprised Fidelity is pitching it. Fidelity's got a lot of that debt from CoreWeave that they need to unload too. Break My Wallet Motorsport says, thoughts on the impending EBT collapse? Actually, I don't think it's a collapse. I'm pretty sure, don't quote me on this, but I saw a headline late last night that they had done something to keep that going. They did some middle of the night executive order or some funds diverted. Don't quote me on that because I haven't been able to verify, but I don't think it's an impending collapse, to be honest with you. I think people are going to get pissed off. But I will tell you, 1 in 8 Americans on food assistance. That is just freaking ridiculous. That is way too many. 1 in 10 is too many. 1 in 20 is too many. These are meant to be safety nets for a few people who are temporarily down on their luck and need a little help, or maybe, I don't know, people who like stepped on an IED in Iraq and now can't work for the rest of their lives and we owe them a debt that can never be repaid. Sure, we'll give you some money to eat because we owe you that. Not 1 in 8 Americans, not almost freaking everybody. Something's got to be done about that. But impending collapse, probably a bit much at this stage here. And again, I think they're probably going to pencil whip that in the middle of the night if they haven't already. Thank you very much, Break My Wallet Motorsports, for supporting the channel. Thank you, everybody, for having your coffee with the Melon Heads this morning. I very much appreciate the generosity in the Super Chats. Thank you, guys, as well as you magnanimous Melon Heads on Patreon and YouTube memberships. Thank you, guys, for supporting the channel. Links down below to all that good stuff, should you feel so inclined. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Hey, don't forget that like button and that subscribe button for the YouTube algorithm. And until next time, this is Paul. And dream big.